Now, I think that the same principle
applies.
Is that
what you mean? They get better,
yes.
And they work for you. Right?
Yeah, well, by that time, you've taken advantage of them, and now you've conquered them.
Yeah. So is that a theory of warfare?
Well, see, I think they use that same theory comes about when people use electronics like cyclotronics and radionics to make people sick.
Yeah. And then they use them.
Yes, because they can't fight. They're sick. They got stomach aches.
Your point is that what the Evering said, this idea of making people sick and then they get better in 3 weeks, is not new.
Well, they use it. They keep trying.
The method is new, but
they keep trying to use it one way or another.
Trying to use what?
The same principle. And I think they used it during the first Iranian war when they didn't go all the way through and get Saddam Hussein. They just made him sick, and they gave right up and put their rifles in the air and surrendered. They were so sick they couldn't fight. They were sick physically, and they were sick mentally.
Yeah. Okay, well,
electronic warfare.
Yeah. I got to figure. Does anybody else want to say anything? You guys should be very impressed with what the fucking Evergreens did and said 22 years ago or so. I do not hear the shock and awe and wonder at what you have just heard.
Takes time to digest.
That's right. You guys humans put it back into what they know. And this is not what you know. You've never heard this before.
So,
the whole age thing ruined people having good coitus.
Yes, Garan, all Croatians are noted for being devoted to that idea. We understand the bias of the Croatians and the great loss of the Croatians, who are great sex partners, great lovers. They were severely hampered, their sex trade industry, by the AIDS. I understand. I have sympathy for your country.
So there was no intention behind all of this to do population control, that people will be afraid to have sex.
Has it progressed into something else?
There was no intention to do anything. It was an experiment that went wrong, and the only guy who said that in public was Zappa. In 1988, he started talking about that. He started talking about a virus. So that's why you should go listen to the Ike Willis and Zappa thing. When did he do it? He did a Broadway musical, which never got produced, called Thing Fish, which was a variation of this. And when you listen to my dialogue with Ike Willis, not the one the other night, but the one before, you will hear how Zappa adapted the facts that he'd been given to make it, you know, semi-palatable so he didn't get killed. So Zappa's the only guy in the world. He wasn't politically correct or sexually correct or anything. He wasn't, you know, the gays were outraged that they'd been attacked, and LaRouche was going on about it with depopulation stuff. Zappa said it was an experiment that went out of control, and that's what happened.
And who's the they that did it?
The what?
Who are the they that did the experiment? Who's behind all of it?
You will hear the guy named Colonel Vauxhall when you listen to what was broadcast earlier last night.
Okay.
September 12th, 89, which is probably being laid out by Aikido and Ed in parts. So it'll be right there for you. They're separating and presenting each thing that I broadcast. And they're making it available and chronologically. That's great. You won't even have to go look. You just go and say, well, it happened on, November 25th. It's on point. Bob played it. Go there on that day, and you'll see what Ed and Aikido excerpted for you. I understand that's what they're doing. And when I looked at it, it looked like that was what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Ed said it's all Aikido.
That's awesome. Yeah, I heard the email from Aikido. That's awesome.
Yes,
and Gene's
so we thank
contribute.
Him for doing that. It's about time he paid his dues and, paid homage to us by serving and doing something practical to help us. He He's been enjoying us for years.
Over in Japan.
Yeah. So he did some yeoman labor, I think is the phrase. So, what's your name? Bart. What do you think of this viral debilitant idea, Bart? Can you live in the present and absorb it without projecting back in the rearview mirror of what you already knew and how you knew this 10 years ago?
So we have the information on that now, and we can have our personal opinions about it. But as far as the whole thing being novel, it seems to be tie in with the whole germ warfare kind of notion. It's just
oh yeah, you'll hear the guy in Higher Form of Killing, which is the book that Zappa ends his autobiography with, which I got the details for him back in 88. A Higher Form of Killing publishes the 1970-71 document that laid out, MacArthur was his name, he was the scientist who presented the possibility of making this kind of virus in 1970. And you will look in my diary, I'm pretty sure it's there, I was at that meeting in 1971. Let me see if I can find it immediately. Let's see.
With the doctor or with Zappa?
No, with the doctor. Okay. I helped Zappa understand the scenario. But I was not the main guy that was that the Ike Willis interviews about. So where was that? Okay, you go to Dobbstown. You click on the diary. Go to 1971.
What month in 71?
Are you looking it up already? You already there?
Oh, no, I'm just trying to get an idea of the window there.
I'm just putting in 1971. Let's see. I'm there in 1971. There it is, May 11th, 1971, Lagos, Nigeria. Here's the diary entry. The hot night is not being suffered by Bob as he pondered the following words the scientists had just spoken. And here's the words, quote, since it's not feasible for us to have a nuclear war, and yet we still may have to harness captive nations for industry, the way to conduct war is to find something that weakens the enemy so they can't fight and resist, but still leaves them alive enough to recover and work for us. I propose I can genetically engineer a virus that can weaken the immune system temporarily so the enemy picks up local diseases over a pre-programmed period of time, and then this vulnerability subsides. That is my memory of what I heard at the Lagos, Nigeria, May 11th, 1971 meeting. And if you go look, I think it's online, Dr. MacArthur's statement. It's probably a bit different than this.
And that's what the Evergreens just laid out, exactly what you said they said in that reading.
Yes, yes. And this diary's been available for 20 years almost.
Did they get
I think this was in Flipside magazine at one point in the late 90s. But I'd already been on the air talking, but I explained it many times in many interviews to Evan, to wherever I got interviewed. I explained, but I summarized the this... what we just heard.
Well, what's interesting to me is your proximity to when this basically got originated and got rolling. In a very short amount of time, you're already, and I guess now with your timeline here is a reference. I can see why, but you know, 7-8 years after the virus is created and disseminated, you're speaking with the Evergreens about it.
Yeah, well, 20 years later. 1971. I forgot all that. You know, I had a diary record, and I wasn't monitoring the progress of that. That was kept secret. But I was, like I told you, what we did in Secret Council 10, our solar government operation, we would go around and be aware of avant-garde things. So I heard this avant-garde statement. But it wasn't until 20 years later that it surfaced. Because I get the information in 88, and that is, 17 years later.
What I was saying, though, is it was only 8 years earlier that that particular virus had been generated or disseminated.
He was contaminated 8 years later, right, 8 years later. It took the guy most of the 70s, Dr. MacArthur and others at Fort Detrick, you know, 8 years to work it out.
The Evergreen said 79, or it was created in 79, it was released in 1980, and then in 88, you're asking the Evergreens about it. You're talking to them about it.
Yes. And then Zappa, he releases his biography in 89, because we did the interview with him in October 21st, 22nd, 1988. So I knew about AIDS a month before we interviewed him, the famous interview that biographers use. But I didn't know what he and Ike Wills, Frank did not tell me what he knew at that point. But he wanted information, the higher form of killing. And the next day, Jerry and I went and got the book and sent him the actual details so he could put in his autobiography. He had heard about the book. But we had, I knew of the book because it came out in 1982, so we sent him the page which has the excerpt of Dr. MacArthur. And if I put, let's see if it's probably Googleable. So I'll just put in Dr. MacArthur, make it up, A-R-T-H-U-R-A-I-D-S, see what comes up. There it is. Under Bible, the first one comes up is BibleBelievers.org. AIDS, A Doctor's Note on the Man-Made Theory by Alan Cantwell. Alan Cantwell was one of the first renegade people to propose the theory that it was a gay plague. And he's the one who, well, in this article, he gives the, remember, it was a gay plague on a Dr. Smusness. That was the fictional thing based on Cantwell's book. So where is MacArthur?
Is it M-A-C or M-C?
I'm just checking.
It's M-A-C.
M-A-C, okay.
Yeah, it says a decade before the first cases of AIDS, Dr. Donald M. MacArthur, a spokesman for the U.S. Department of Defense.
What paragraph is that?
It's about the middle of the page under creation of a supergerm.
So I go down to that part, creation of a supergerm.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah, there's the document. That's what was the document that Zappa had in his book. So you can read it if you want to. You can read it.
That first paragraph?
Yeah, a decade before, you know.
Decade before the first cases of AIDS, Dr. Donald M. MacArthur, a spokesman for the U.S. Department of Defense, told a congressional hearing that a supergerm could be developed as part of our experimental biowarfare program. This genetically engineered germ would be very different from any previous microbe known to mankind. The agent would be a highly effective killing agent because the immune system would be powerless against the supermicrobe. Testimony before a subcommittee of the Committee on Appropriations, House of Representatives, Department of Defense Appropriations for 1970, dated July 1, 1969. A transcript of this meeting on synthetic biological agents records the following comments of Dr. MacArthur. There's a lot there.
Yeah, so you could post this on Dupes. You don't have to read it, but it's there. Four stages.
That's the best that they could come up with.
This was written years ago. I don't know if anything more has come, but this is basically, all that ever came out, I think.
Well, I mean, as far as what their super germs could do, the capability, considering iodine is a little lacking.
Well, they were working on DNA. They didn't know it was RNA. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they were working on the immune system. I guess, yeah, that's what is that's affected? That's a Carolyn question.
Yeah.
But
there's Carolyn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the question?
These super germs affect the immune system, so what role would DNA or RNA play in that case?
Well, not even so much. I think they're just victims of the infectious. What is it? The microbe is the bad guy and attacks us and kills us. So they would just want to find a super microbe. It's no imagination there at all.
What about the retrovirus theory or explanation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just thought we were talking about bacteria. In terms of the virus thing, yeah, the virus particles are RNA, actually. And, you know, the whole Tariq thing where Tariq's a friend in L.A., and he was saying from the beginning, viruses don't even exist because they're so small and all the rest of it. So there's a whole AIDS deniers that came about where a lot of people didn't even believe AIDS existed. But, yeah, viral, retroviral, all that stuff kind of obscured everything that was going on.
When what was going on?
When the whole AIDS epidemic was going on, there was the section of people who said it didn't even exist because it couldn't be seen under the microscope. You couldn't grow it. This business at Gallo and the Morgan, was it Morgan Thau guy over in France?
Morgenthaler, Messi Borden.
Morgenthaler.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, when they both said, oh, yeah, we recreated in our labs, a lot of people said, no, you can't even. You know, it's just, it doesn't grow. It doesn't follow any of the, I think it's Virchow's principles or Koch's hypothesis, where in order to be an infective agent, you have to be able to take that organism and grow it. And they could never do that very easily at all. So it kind of defied so many principles, which led a lot of people to say, well, it's genetically engineered, so it doesn't have any principles to follow.
Yeah, Tariq couldn't understand what we were saying. Didn't believe it. Don't say anything. Just a minute. So, Carolyn, I used the retrovirus idea to make the tiny node chart. What is a damn retrovirus? That's where the RNA comes in.
Yeah, you're right.
And you're saying it mixes in with these other things, that it was all a blur and nobody knew which was what.
Yeah.
But the point is, these guys did do it somehow.
Yes. And I'm saying is, by genetically engineering it, they made it into something that wasn't natural, you know, something that was not. And when you try to identify it by what natural organisms do, they couldn't. So it just was many levels of obfuscation.
Well, if they worked with the DNA, then I have to ask Guy on this, they wouldn't be able to do it because you can't do anything with the cell unless you work with the RNA.
That has nothing to do with it. RNA and DNA don't come into it in the way we're working with it, I don't believe, in terms of the strands. The RNA comes in because viruses do not have DNA. All they have is RNA. They're like little.
So the green monkey virus, which is actually, that was partly true. They worked with the green monkey virus.
Yeah, that was their experimental animal.
Yeah, and they genetically altered it. Do they work with the RNA? Like Ian says, that's the only thing you can do stuff with.
And no, it's got nothing to do with humans.
Genetic engineering is done by working with the DNA?
Well, let me read the wiki entry on retrovirus.
Just a minute. We hear they do things. What are they working with, RNA or DNA? And to the degree that they publicly announce they can do genetic engineering.
They're working with DNA.
Right.
But when they're creating a virus, they're working with viral RNA, not human RNA or DNA.
They're working with the monkey virus.
Yeah.
And that's RNA in the monkey virus.
Right.
And that's what they would have genetically altered somehow to make this thing.
Right.
And they would, in other words, they were working with the RNA.
Of a virus, yes.
Right. So the genetic engineering based on DNA, is that still going?
Yeah, they keep trying to do it and keep failing.
Right, and we know why. Because RNA is the factor. You have to work with the RNA.
Right.
So DNA genetic engineering with humans, doesn't, it's not going to work.
Right, because they look at the, you know, they'll
take... So, and then genetic engineering with viruses, where RNA is involved, by default, they have to work with RNA. It works. It worked in this case.
You're mixing up apples and oranges.
No, they took an RNA, monkey virus, which has RNA, and they made a genetically engineered thing that would mutate over a 3-week period but turned out to 29. That's with RNA. They did something to it, right?
They did something with viruses affecting the viral RNA. Humans, yeah, they just think humans are DNA.
They work with monkeys. That's why it worked. They were working with RNA, and they didn't know that RNA was the big factor in humans.
You're mixing up apples and oranges. What?
Okay. The RNA worked in the monkey virus.
They were trying to create a virus that they could manipulate and make very virulent.
And they did.
What has that got to do with DNA, 144 chromosomes, and RNA in humans?
Nothing to do with it. They did.
Right. It's got nothing to do with what RNA drops do to our RNA and DNA.
Right.
Nothing to do with it.
But the point
apples and oranges.
Yeah, but they work.
I'm eating an orange right now.
Yeah, they worked with RNA. They work with the green monkey's RNA. They were getting on...
Because that's all that viruses have is RNA. They had nothing else to work with. It's not even a it's a default position.
If viruses...
Don't try to make it be about RNA when all it is RNA.
If viruses involve RNA... That they're lucky that they can do it, because it seems RNA is the only thing that's flexible that you can do things to.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
We're out of the apples and oranges bind that you fucked your mind up with?
We've gone into an encompassing capsule of the whole picture.
Yeah, by default, they were forced to work with RNA when they were doing viruses from animals.
When they were doing viruses.
Yeah, and that was and they didn't realize, holy shit, RNA is the only thing that works.
No.
Because they thought they were working with the apples and oranges when they went to the humans.
Right.
That's something different. So, Bart, you wanted to say something?
I was just finding some stuff online to read about viruses. Virus particles known as virions consist of two or three parts. One, the genetic material made from either DNA or RNA, long molecules that carry genetic information. Two, a protein coat that protects these genes. And in some cases, three, an envelope of lipids that surrounds the protein coat when they are outside a cell.
Good. Okay, good. What's your point?
Well, you were going to say something about retroviruses. That might be interesting.
Retroviridae is a family of enveloped viruses that replicate in a host cell through the process of reverse transcription. A retrovirus is a single-stranded RNA virus that stores its nucleic acid in the form of an mRNA genome, including the 5-something cap and the 3-something poly A tail, and targets a host cell as an obligate parasite. Once inside the host cell cytoplasm, the virus uses its own reverse transcriptase enzyme to produce DNA from its RNA genome, the reverse of the usual pattern, thus retro backwards. This new DNA is then incorporated into the host cell genome by an integrase enzyme, at which point the retroviral DNA is referred to as provirus. The host cell then treats the viral DNA as part of its own genome, translating and transcribing the viral genes along with the cell's own genes, producing the proteins required to assemble new copies of the virus. It is difficult to detect the virus until it has infected the host.
So what did we learn, Harper?
Well, that's kind of neat. It's almost like we could think of that the AIDS virus. They kind of made a mirror image of it to make the synthetic AIDS virus. By making a mirror image, they made it into a retrovirus. That's my thinking.
Is that what Bart said?
Nope. Well, it led me to my conclusion.
Do you understand the Evergreen's viral development principle better now, Bart?
I don't understand the specific processes inside the body, but I understand what they were getting at with what the scientists were trying to do, what they were doing.
Yeah. Good. I'm going to play some music and then start playing some more Evergreen sessions.
Yeah, I was going to say one thing, which is that people are so paranoid in this environment and have made so many fantasies of what the government's doing that information releases such as this are kind of diminished in that particular environment. There's a lot of paranoia going on. There's a lot of fantasizing going on.
Releases such as what I'm reading or playing,
right?
Are what? What, they're played down?
They're sort of, yeah. I think they're sort of they're mitigated somewhat in this environment because I think the fear fantasies have gone so out of control that. It seems somewhat diminished.
What's diminished? I don't know what you're trying to say. Hold it, Denny. I want to find out what Bart's trying to say.
I was going
to
say, germ warfare. You know, what are the stones? Georgia, is it the Georgia Guidestones?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I don't know a lot about that, but I do know that the theories that surround that are that there's a depopulation thing going on, and so all sorts of. These fantasies, terror fantasies, have been built up, paranoia in the sort of public realm. And I think it's gotten to such great lengths that, you know, releases such as this specific information like this regarding this germ warfare, the AIDS virus, ends up sort of being a quiet voice in that cacophony of paranoid fantasies. Does that make sense?
You're saying that people, as part of the post-information environment, any real information is not going to be heard.
To some degree, it all depends on who's listening to it. But that's my take on it.
Well, what I get out of this is they wanted to make a weak virus, and it got out of hand. So to me, it dispels a lot of the myths about HIV that they were going after the gays or going after Africans or. It was just their stupidity of letting something out that turned out to be more virulent than they ever thought.
Yeah, big oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, in you hear the Evergreens describe how the colleagues at the Atlantic Disease Center, when some of them found out, they look at the guys who did it and go, man, how could they do that? How could they be so cruel or mean or stupid?
Naive, right.
Yeah. They were isolated, and now they're probably billionaires and having a great life in Maui.
Well,
probably living right in this compound here.
It's like my blog yesterday. They want to take this enzyme that they found has an effect on the blood sugar, and they just want to kill it. And they don't look at the fact that it does a dozen other things. They're not even cognizant that it's going to kill a dozen things and not just affect the blood sugar. So it's kind of a hubris of stupidity.
Well, look at this. This is way more important. I finally emailed Sasha like 10 minutes ago and said, did you know Ion was back? So she writes in big letters, what? With five exclamation marks. And then with smaller letters, that makes, and then big letters, total sense. Now, why would that make total sense? You know what I mean? And then she goes, woo-hoo. But then she doesn't say that she's going to call me or email back. So we dimly connected with her.
I thought she was on the email I sent.
I guess she isn't. Well, Sasha has disconnected herself from the Ion scene for 6 months. Well, since I was there in March, though she's working with Chad, working on the design for our new website. But here's an email from Chad. Let's see what he says. He's responding to our talking about the issues of the new website. And he says, regarding 5-day Bob Fest starts today. So I sent him that on the 22nd. He says, I've been listening occasionally in the midst of our busiest week all year, leading up to Black Friday, Cyber Monday. What the hell's that? Something happen on Wall Street?
No, it's the biggest shopping day of the year.
Okay. Online shopping, right. It's good to hear Ion drop in. So he became aware of Ion dropping in. He says, until what time will you be live tomorrow? Are you only going until 00 hours on the 27th tonight? We will be going another 36 hours or something, right? Yeah. So I can answer that. So I need to take a break, And okay. I have to send some recordings to people who've ordered them. So I have to spin that while, like 10 or 15 minutes. So I'll play music during that, and you guys can mingle among yourselves. And then I'll be back to play more.
I want to say I probably have another half hour before I have to step off again, but I will be back on at some point.
Okay.
But I just want to say thank you again for having me on. Let me speak.
You mean like right now we let you speak?
Yes.
Yes. Well, yes. Well, that's no big deal. Anybody comes on here generally can be allowed to speak.
Yes.
What's your name? Bart. So don't make a big deal out of it.
Right. If you've got words, you can speak.
Yeah.
I have to say I've not been on the phone this much in my entire life.
Well, I have.
It's but insane to me. I've never been on the phone for more than maybe a half an hour or an hour of my entire life, and I'm on 2 days.
Yeah, like a majority of the hours.
Yeah.
It's
great.
Your partner's still there?
Not at the moment, but will be soon, so I should be getting dinner.
Right. Okay, very good. Thanks for dimly perceiving the significance of what I did. You're probably the only guy here who understands.
In 5 years, I'll let you know once when it's been sort of borne out.
Yeah, when it's sunk in.
Humorous aside, actually, was that when you were speaking with the Evergreens about with Dr. Beter as a communicator there, and Beter talked about him not needing a large audience.
Yeah, that was the dream. That's
the dream, okay.
That's the other Beter dream, not the UFO Beter dream.
Yeah. And you would ask what the significance there was, and it was being sort of withheld from you. It was just like a communication was being opened there.
No, that's the UFO one. The other one was, what was the meaning of this dream where Beter comes and he's disappointed at the small audience, and I'm trying to get David Bowie to listen to Dr. Beter. The message was that Dr. Beter does not have to have a huge audience to say something to me.
Right.
That's the message.
And that was left, and so many years later when Ion showed up, the message that Beter gave you was, through JW, tell Bob I said hi.
Later. That's right. When Beter, he says, tell Bob I said hi. I had not talked to him through the Evergreens since, I don't know, 2000? So it was like 10 years later. So what's funny about that?
It's just a very humorous build-up to, I have a message for Bob 10 years later.
My message is, how are you? How you doing? Well, by then, and he triggered Ion, you know, he helped it happen. Because of Beter, I decided that, well, that must be people, ghosts that know me, so they must be Evergreens. Let's see if we can talk to them. Beter caused it.
Yeah.
And that's what, in his message here, the one I played today, within this session of A Message to His Family, September 1388, which I would have given to his family in late October, early November 88. We went on what I call the Bob Tour a few weeks later from September 1388. He says, if we had met 40 years earlier, things would have been a lot different. Because remember, Beter tried to do what we're doing on the gold front. And so 40 years before, if we had met, that would have been 1948, we would have been in Maui by 1970. And the Ion, no, I don't know, but he means that things, he could have used my help, or I could have used his help.
Yeah, the significance there of the relationship, yeah.
Yeah. And then he knew more, if this is all true, because he knew in 10 years... No, it'd be 20 years, I would have Ion. He might have known that when he spoke through the Evergreen.
Yeah. Well,
and that might be what he's referring to when he said 40 years ago, because Ion always joked, well, you could have done this 20 years ago, Bob.
That's right. But you know your timing.
Yeah. So, yes, we had to have all the Zappa music and all the great movies and all the great entertainments come out the last 40 years. You know, it would have been crummy if we solved it all in 69.
You were building content for your shows, that's right.
Yes. I wanted to have a huge archive for my radio show, for playing music.
Yeah.
We wanted Madonna, we wanted who I don't even like. We wanted all the others I didn't like. But there was good stuff in between there. Well, especially Frank Zappa stuff.
Yeah.
And this and that.
Vestal.
Vestal, yep. Vestal. So it all worked.
And Gaga.
It worked. So we do, I defy Ion and say that we are glad we took 40 years in the wilderness.
And my habitual comment is J.W. wasn't even born 40 years ago.
Right.
Or he was a youngster.
He was born in 65, same year as our foster kids. So 40, that's 40, that's 2005, Carol. 40 years. Okay, so I hope you guys are okay. You're happy. You're well-informed now, and you'll be able to explain to your sisters and brothers and loved ones the viral debilitant, and what the big American fucking mystery is finally explained.
Yeah, get excited about viral debilitants.
Yes. Relist well, to it, get it down so you describe it properly, because yeah. They're going to bombard you with questions, and if you don't have your shit together, you will stumble and fall and make my message look stupid. Look at that. Nobody answered. What is it with you people? You're just sitting there like... Like a legend, nobody just sitting there. No one's saying anything. What's wrong with you people?
How many do you have on the line?
What?
How many do you have on the line?
About 8, I think.
Oh, okay.
Well, you said you wanted to take a break.
Yes, but I'm saying goodbye, so you can at least say goodbye.
Oh, okay. Goodbye. Take a good break.
Not a good break. Short break.
Okay. Goodbye.
Uh-oh, fuckface is here, fuckface.
I recognize that voice.
Now what? Oh, my God, you fucking ass. Oh, this is today's edition, right? This is edition 4.
Hi, Ion.
Who is that lemon?
Who said that?
Welcome back.
Who said squeeze that? I want to know. That was a smart statement. Who said squeeze that lemon? Goran, the Croatian JW. Or Ion. We have an aggressive, sexy, fucking, well-hung Croatian here who's pissed off that AIDS fucked up the tourist trade for Croatians. Oh, good morning, sir. You're late for work.
Are you punching
in? Does anyone have a question for Ion?
I do.
Go ahead.
Okay. Ion, Leviticus, I wanted to...
Now, wait a minute, Ginny. You've been here all... Here I've been trying to get Greg to fucking supplement this shit, and he doesn't show up. You guys show up now? How did you just happen to know now?
Stop it.
No. Why wasn't Greg here, Ginny, for the last 2 hours?
Greg and I have both been sitting here listening to everything you said, Bob.
Well, I was asking Greg to come in and talk about what we
did. Your entire show.
Yeah, well, I kept asking you to come in and discuss your military weapons situation. The theory you presented 8 hours ago when you first heard this.
Maybe he was going to the bathroom. Can we get on with it,
Bob? You know what I mean, Greg?
Didn't hear you, Bob.
You did not hear me the last couple hours where you just said you've been listening, where I said, Greg, where are you?
I'm cooking in the kitchen. The phone is down. I can't hold it to my ear, Bob. I don't have an elastic band big enough.
Well, you could have said, I'm here, but I can't talk right now. I'm asking for a little more response when we're doing this. It's stupid, putting it out to a void. All right.
Yeah, mute yourself, Bob. I'm going to mute Bob.
No, I'm not. I'll be here, and I'm going to be censoring a lot of people here.
Ion, are you still there after all that barrage from sleep-deprived Bob?
No, sleep-deprived. That's bullshit.
Ion, are you there, or did we scare you away?
I don't see his number. Looks like he went away. That's good. Okay, guys, go home. Be back in 10 minutes to carry on listening to the Evergreens.
Can I ask a question, Bob?
No!
I have to dash off this afternoon.
See, Greg, you fucking answer politely. I ask for a response. Just say, hey, Bob, I don't want to respond. At least I hear some human fucking response, okay? And it's not based on sleep deprivation. It's just typical idiocy I have to put up with.
Okay,
but Greg, you can say if you said Greg, you were sitting there for two hours listening. You could just say, Ginny, will you tell Bob I can't do it? All right, let's get some interaction here.
Now, if I had a question for Ion, I would ask him about the Evergreens because you've been playing it for 5 days.
Well, that's good.
Really, really carefully.
We'll see if he comes back. He might get the opportunity.
Well, I'm hoping that you can answer it before we have to.
I'm not answering it. It's over. I'm going to play some music and prepare for some more Evergreens.
You know, the actual room where the...
All participants are now muted.
Okay.
That's the stupidest question I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, Bill, that's right, Bill. Play that again, please, Bill.
That's the stupidest question I've ever heard in my life.
Now, for the Croatians, we love the Croatians. They're going to hear this.
And enter the